It's time now for the broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise in Greensboro, North Carolina, with Pastor Ray Whittington. Find out more about the Cathedral of Praise and Pastor Ray on Facebook. Just search Cathedral-of-Praise. And you can address correspondence to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Now with today's broadcast, here's Pastor Ray.
As I say often when we begin on Sunday, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And, of course, that's it for every day, because every day is a day that the Lord has made, and His mercies are renewed every morning, is what the Scriptures tell us. So thank God this morning for a God that sits high and looks low, and His mercies is renewed this morning. I pray that you've had a wonderful week. I pray that God has been good to you. Thank God for His mercy and His grace, as I've said. So to God be the glory for the things that He's done. Still a lot of people suffering from different things going on in the world. So let's begin with prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to call upon your name. You said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we believe this morning that when we pray, you told Solomon, said, you know, if trouble comes, when people look to this house and pray, I will hear their prayers. You said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, there's no way except by revelation or by them telling me that I could know all that people are going through this morning. But I do know that you're a God that said that you're with us. You won't leave us. You will not forsake us, but you'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you this morning that my heart is in tune and turned towards you. I thank you, God, that in spite of all that's going on in the world, you're still God, and you will always be God. That you're the beginning and the end and all that's between. I pray for healing for those that are sick, for strength for those that are discouraged. I pray for the power of God to be manifest in people's lives. I pray for men of God to stand up in the pulpits of America today and proclaim the word of God with boldness and with power, because you said righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Oh, God, help us today to serve you and to live for you and to put you first in our lives. And we'll give you the glory and the honor for all that you do, because it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. I know that now you can hear the announcement of the address that you can write to me. And by now, we've been doing this almost 2 years. It's hard to believe. You ought to have it written down. I'd like to hear from you. I appreciate your prayers, your support. It's encouraging to know that we're touching people's lives. Also, you can send me an email at rayamwhittington@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. It helps us to know that somebody's standing with us. I was thinking this week, and this is something I want to share with you, about God and God's promises to us. See, God does make promises, and God keeps His word to 1,000 generations. Somebody said that a generation was 40 years. You can read different people's idea of how long a generation is, but if God keeps His word to 1,000 generations, 40 generations would be 40,000 years. See, God's been around a long time, and when the gainsayers are gone, He's still going to be God. He's God, and He always will be God. God's made a lot of promises, and you know, somebody said one time, all of them, they're without conditions, but no, some Some promises come with conditions, but there are some promises of God that there are no conditions to it. Somebody said to me one time, well, you know, everything God asked you to do, there's something you've got to do most of the time it's that way, but not all the time. But see, the first promise that God made was in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. He didn't say that there was anything that had to be done, and that was the first promise of Jesus coming to this world to redeem fallen man. God made a promise in the days of Noah when he saw the weakness and the vileness and the corruptness and the thoughts of men's hearts was evil continually, and the flood came when he put the rainbow in the sky, the bow as we call it. The Bible said, God said, I'll never do this again. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what comes or goes. God said that the earth may be destroyed, but it'll never be destroyed this way again. He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, he didn't say that storms wouldn't come, but he said he would be there through the storm. And I could go on and on and on and talk to you about the promises of God. He said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, yes. And of course, one of the greatest promises that there is that we, when we die, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. What a wonderful thought. It seems like that I hear more and more. I got word this morning that a cousin of mine, a great, great man of God, struggled with years with cancer, and he lost his kidneys and all kind of things, but he was ushered into the presence of the Lord last night. And we have the promise also that he will come again. That he will come again. The angel told the people that saw him ascend into the heavens. It's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. The angel said, this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he said unto them that look for him, he will appear. Hallelujah. He said, when you see these things, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. And then there's some personal promises that God makes to us sometime. I believe there's some things that God's yet to fulfill in my life, or promises he's made to me. And sometimes we can't leave this world until all of the God has promised us going to happen is going to happen. I believe that. I'm looking for God to manifest himself. I'm human enough that I don't always fly in the clouds, or, you know, there's days when it seems like the sun doesn't shine, but God comes through. He has, there's been days, but like the songwriter said, he's done enough. He's done enough to keep me pressing on. I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret a time I've trusted in his word. I've seen the years go by, many days without a song. But I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I want you to, before I get into the scripture, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 2 for a couple of moments before we leave this morning. But before we do that, I want you to listen to a song by the Cathedrals. It says, "We shall see Jesus."
Here's an incredible song, and an incredible gentleman sang it. "We shall see Jesus."
We shall see Jesus, just as he is
on sunny hillside. People were gathered, hoping to see him, as thousands were fed, and he touched the blind eyes, healed broken He moved with compassion. Why even raised up the dead? Once on a hillside, people were gathered, watching as Jesus, He was crucified. And he died. Once on a hillside, people were gathered. Oh, Jesus had risen, amen, and soon would ascend. He rose to the heaven, and He gave them this promise. Come back again.
We shall.
Praise God. We shall see Jesus just as He is when He returns in power and glory. The songwriter said once He came to this old world of sin and sorrow, just a babe in a manger in Bethlehem. But when He comes again, He's coming in power and great glory. The kings of earth shall bow down and worship Him. Jesus is coming with all of His glory, not just a Savior, but a reigning King, and all the world will be a witness. Praise God, praise God, praise God, Jesus is coming soon. I don't have time this morning to go into all the prophecies of the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled while He was on this life, but those who were looking for Him, they found Him when they searched for Him with all their heart. But in the second chapter of Luke, there's a story. It just amazes me at the different things that we have the birth of Jesus and how that He went back to Bethlehem to be born and how the angels came and the glory shone round about. The shepherds came, and there was a prophecy. This would be a sign unto you, and a multitude of the heavenly hosts began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And the Bible said that Mary pondered things in her heart. But when we get to verse 21, it's the Bible said, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Oh, we need to value life. I just want to take a minute to say this morning. We need to value life more in this world. We've got to the place that we act like the death doesn't really exist, and so we try to just kind of move around it a little bit, but it's going to happen to all of us. But we need to value life. The Bible said that Jesus was named Jesus by the angel. Wow. By the angel, that's what the scripture says, before that he was ever conceived in the womb. Oh, life is so valuable that we need to put more of a premium on it. I think about the innocent babies. So many are, you know, never given the chance to be born in this world and see what they can accomplish in life. But the Bible said when the days of her purification, according to the law, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. See, that's what we're supposed to do with our children. We've turned them over to secularism and all of that, but we need to present them to the Lord. And the Bible said to offer a sacrifice. And then verse 25 is the one I want to get to. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. See, God deals in individuals. It's amazing to me to see the uniqueness of God. I say all the time there was a lot of Marys in Jesus' day. You know, we know of three or four different Marys that was involved in Jesus' ministry and in his life. Is, you know, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, and of course, Jesus' own mother's name was Mary. But when God told the angel to go to Nazareth to speak to a Mary, he knew exactly what door to show up at. See, God knows who you are and knows your name. And the Bible said his name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. See, that's what we need today is a rebaptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We need a spirit of conviction. We need the anointing. We need the anointing of God. That's what we need. The Bible said, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a powerful statement. I don't know how old he was, but he was a just man, and God's timing is so good. Here's a man that had been promised that he would see the Christ before he left this world. So there was a wind of time that Jesus had to show up, because this man wasn't going to live in the natural life forever. See, God's timing is so important. And the Bible said, verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. I don't know how many Sabbaths he came. I don't know how many young babies he looked at that were thinking, well, this might be the one, or this could be the one. I don't know. All I know that he was faithful, because he showed up at the house of God. See, he met Jesus in the house of God. Some people said, I can live right without going to church. You better. Oh, yes, we better. You know, it's not a couple hours on Sunday situation when you're born again of the Spirit. But I'm telling you, when you look at what happened in the house of God, I say all the time, when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, and even though they were in disobedience, God still was there in a certain way with them. And the Bible said he led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But the pillar of cloud by fire, day and the fire by night didn't stay over Moses' house. It didn't stay over Joshua's tent. It didn't stay over Aaron's tent. It stayed over the tabernacle in the wilderness. It stayed where the people of God meet together. And he had the Holy Ghost to let him know which one was going to be the one. Watch it now. Here it is. It's a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath, and he's at the house of God, and I don't know how, you know, it was a custom to bring all these in to be offered to the Lord, but there was only one Jesus, only one name, only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was led of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible said about Jesus. He was led of the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Here Jesus was born. He came first of all to his own, but Simeon is even already telling us that there's a way for us to get in, a light to lighten the Gentiles. The one writer said they that dwell in darkness have seen a light that came, and thank God for that. And he said, and Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He was prophesying that Mary would be there when Jesus was crucified. I say all the time that Mary could have stopped the crucifixion by just saying, I know. But she kept quiet because she knew how Jesus came into this world. But there was a promise made to Simeon. And then there was another woman. There was a woman named Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, see, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. They departed unto Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And that's my point I want to make to you this morning. I believe that God makes specific promises sometimes. You know, this is what he said to Simeon. He said, you can't go. You can't go until you behold the Lord's Christ. And God fulfill it. God fulfill it. If God makes you a promise, you don't have to take him down to the courthouse and make him sign on the dotted line and get a notary to witness that God keeps his word. He may not come when you want him to, but he'll come on time. God keeps his word. And I believe some of you little mothers have been praying for your children. Your fathers have been asking God to touch you. And I believe that God is going to manifest that promise he made to you of household salvation. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. Don't fail God. Don't fail to run. Don't stop now. Sometimes I almost get tongue-tied trying to get it out, but I'm just telling you, be faithful to the end. Be faithful to the end. God told this man, said, you can't leave. You can't leave. And he recognized him by the Spirit of God and was able to put a blessing on him. And then he was able to depart in peace because God had accomplished his word in him. So God fulfills his promise. Oh, yes, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Praise God, praise God. Well, my time is gone again this morning. But I'm telling you, if God tells you something's going to come to pass, it will. If it doesn't, God didn't say it, because God keeps his word. And he's coming again. He's coming again. To those who look for him, he will appear. That's what the word of God says. That's our hope, folks. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may the God of heaven give you peace. I love you. God bless you. It's my prayer.
We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise with Pastor Ray M. Whittington. Cathedral of Praise is located at 3529 Rehoboth Church Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Your support is needed and appreciated for this broadcast. You may address your cards and letters to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. And on behalf of Pastor Ray and all the congregation of Cathedral of Praise, we're praying for you. And we hope to see you again right here next week.